Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Thomas Vestergaard. He's the CEO of UPF Group, based in Maputo, Mozambique. First and foremost, Thomas, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you very much, Bo. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You are always welcome, my friend. As I always do with my accused or interviewees, I always give them a little chance to elaborate briefly on their background. How did they get into shipping in the first place? And how come you are not sitting in a bank or working at an accountancy firm? Why are you in shipping?
Oh, yeah, that's a long story, but short. My granddad was a former ship owner, and I always liked to look into the ship, to the shipping side. I went to the shipping school directly after my grandma. Missed my mom too much, so quit after 9 months. Had to find something else, which was not that aggressive. So I started training after my high school at a shipping company, actually the same as you.
Yeah,
one of the best ones in Aarhus,
for sure.
Johannes Petersen. And from there, I just slowly jumped on my career step by step.
Yeah.
And now sitting here.
Yeah, fantastic. And sitting in Maputo, I mean, it is quite a jump from Denmark, so to speak, to Maputo, Mozambique. But what can you tell our viewers about, if we start with the basics first, UPF Group, who are you?
Yeah, that's we are including myself, a group of investors who have invested in UPF, and some of the founders of United Heavylift, some of the former guys from Scantrans, which be familiar to some of you, Lars Bonnesen, I can mention, and we are Bonster Chartering, and we founded a logistic company with a special focus on Africa, however, with a solid background from Europe, with the whatever comes from there of hopefully quality and compliance. That's one of the key issues and one of our key focus areas today. Mm-hmm. And I took the step to Mozambique a bit more than 2.5 years ago with my former employer. Today, I'm building a solid foundation here in Mozambique, as we are already now trying and are quite involved in some projects here. It's not a secret to anyone that the LNG project for Total, hopefully soon, go ahead again after the more than 2 years on hold due to some severe attacks on Palmer. We are involved there and try to get even further involved. We are there's some quite significant construction project going on in Mozambique, and not least we are focusing on the corridors via Beta into Zambia, Zimbabwe, Malawi. We are sub-suppliers to several larger and smaller, for that sake, forwarding companies, and simply assisting from the cargo hitting the port, custom or transit clearance, and delivery to site. Some of them we strip and we do local distributions, so it's a bit of everything. And then we are simply developing our footprint in Africa.
Okay, that's very interesting. I think it's fair to say maybe Africa is the last untamed wilderness in some ways left in the world, which is not let's say overgrown. And I think maybe you've chosen the right market. I believe sitting in Mozambique, you are also developing your footprint, so to speak, in other African countries. What do you envisage in the near future for African plans besides Mozambique?
We already well established in Tanzania, with mainly focus on cargo for DRC and the local market in Tanzania. We do transit cargo into Lubumbashi for the mining industry, containers via Dar es Salaam, rolling equipment via Durban. We will hopefully be up and running in Luanda here by 1st October.
And Luanda is where?
Angola.
Angola, yeah.
Yeah, fully settled there. Luanda, Angola is a difficult market. It's a rather established market. The oil and gas came to there, or the oil especially came to Angola many years ago.
Yeah.
So it's a different market. The Mozambican is upcoming. It's very early. They build as they walk. So we have Walvis Bay in the pipeline. However, we have an intention of covering the entire Southern Africa, not necessarily with own offices, and that's also what I have been reaching out to various partners that we either cover just with a sales operation person. We have, as an example, one guy sitting in Harare, ensuring the quality of work when we are delivering there, having somebody on ground. So this is,
It sounds like a smart move. I mean, instead of either owning 100% or only employees, you are doing some kind of partnership model. Tell our viewers a little bit about that, because it seems to me that that's the way both to keep and maintain solid staff, because they are difficult to find, right?
Yeah, I for many years have a dream and intention and vision about bringing people on board as a partner in some extent, and not only bonus or small earn out booking by booking, but simply engaging people more in the day-to-day business, considering their steps carefully, and also simply being able to retain people. And so we have partners on board in most countries, actually, from not only the top managers, but also on the junior level.
Right. That's very interesting, and I mean, concerning Africa, it's a huge continent, and it's a little bit like controlling China when you sit in Singapore. It's impossible. But you have done the right thing. You are actually in Africa. You are in the continent where you want to control. You are not sitting somewhere else. How do you go about fixing so many countries? I mean, your focus is now Mozambique and Angola. You mentioned DRC, just for our viewers who don't know. DRC, what does that mean? Which country is that?
That's the Lubumbashi is the main location we focus on, and that's in the southern part of DRC, just hidden in behind Malawi.
Okay.
In there, it's in the copper belt.
Okay.
So there's a lot of copper export and a lot of import for the mines. It's mainly Chinese mining companies mining copper in there.
Yes, and the country is Congo, right? DRC,
correct.
Congo,
Correct.
Yes. Because I believe that, as far as I know,
Democratic Republic of Congo.
Yeah, okay, there are two Congos, I believe so.
Yes,
okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, but getting back to, I'm sorry, but getting back to your question, we have also talking about controlling. I'm here as a local representative, so to speak, local from Denmark, we and I have a plan of simply using the present now in Mozambique to build up here. And then we are looking on the next expansion. And that could be either a sector or it could be a region. And my philosophy is that sitting up there by yourself creates a lot of connections, and you have a deep insight in the market, which I have here in Maputo today, or Mozambique in general, know who is who, and that's super important. And furthermore, we have added an office in which will be announced here 18th of the month, 18th September, and we have added a location in Lisbon.
Oh yeah,
so
great.
Portuguese speaking,
of course.
To Yeah, of course, Portuguese speaking, to support the Portuguese speaking countries.
I think that's very smart.
Yeah.
Right? And,
so our head of Mozambique and our head of Angola will, at least head of business development, will be situated in Portugal.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, you have to take these things into consideration: former colonies, language, and not necessarily always what you know, but also who you know. And I think that's certainly the way forward. Where else, if we go back to the good old continent where I'm sitting here, because I like to pay high taxes, that's why I'm in Sweden. But if we go back to Europe and Northern Europe, where are you located here in the old continent?
Talking about high taxes, we are in Denmark, and because you told me earlier, I know it's actually one of your favorite cities in Denmark, Silkeborg. We
Oh
have
yes.
chosen to set up an office. It's a central location in Denmark,
Perfect.
however, no port, but
Right.
only half an hour away from Aarhus,
Yeah.
a bit more than half an hour away from the airport. It's and our managing director is living there, so he had the final call. So we are in Silkeborg,
Why not?
sitting there, three, soon four,
Yeah.
and then we, as I haven't told yet, we also focusing on finding candidates which might have, how to say, met their end of the journey in some organizations, might can't develop anymore because there's people, good people above them, good people beside them, and
Yeah.
they need some fresh air. So we're also stepping, using that as a bit of a stepping stone, and I'm simply trying to spread that word. And that brought us to Finland. So we are now
Oh.
also have a small office in Finland, with a managing director and
Okay.
partner, and a business developer, and we will be focusing on of course the Finnish market, but also with whatever that takes for the mining industry, and then the Baltics as well.
Okay, now that's
From there.
very good. Now, but you certainly have the experiences to build it up. I mean, first you've been here in the northern parts of Europe, and now you are in Africa. I mean, you know what you talk about. It's not only hearsay. You actually have done it also yourself. It makes it a lot easier. How do you? I think one thing which is needs to be clear here, also for our viewers, many of your customers, they are not necessarily directly shippers. It is also and even more so maybe freight forwarders, right?
Definitely,
Okay.
and we chose that strategy, and we want to support people here in on the Southern African continent. And when I say people, it's our common forwarders. I spend a lot of time both in your network and other networks meeting forwarders around, simply to give them our support from port to the end destination. However, we also got a few direct contact, of course, in Europe. But our key is to be to our goal is to be an independent forwarder on the African continent, and I think it's doable. We see a lot of NGO cargo, and we slowly start to map which forwarders control which, so it's allow us to simply support them, and we have no aim of building such a big organization will allow us to go in and control any of these contracts.
No, because as you know, a lot of things are changing in the market. I mean, you have some of the major container carriers now wanting to do door to door and want to be the jack of all trades. I think it serves you right, and it's a good policy that you are open to anyone, and whoever comes to you with a cargo, you will also protect them, so to speak, right?
Yeah, and also that container. I just came back from a travel to the Middle East here earlier this week, and I got the same question from many forwarders. I met with a lot of forwarders, and I got the same question about the container carriers doing through bill of lading. I even had a funny case the other day with a guy who was asking for Kigali port because he could see that one of the container carriers were delivering in Kigali port, which is 2,000 kilometers inland. And I used to say that we might charge a few bucks more, whatever that is. However, you at least have somebody you can call
Exactly.
when something goes wrong. And as we are not targeting the higher volumes, the hundreds and thousands of TEUs, I honestly still think there's room for good, solid forwarder which is giving a service to the client. And that will be for many years to come. And I'm not that worried. And of course, if you are sitting in Europe, you're importing hundreds of TEUs of whatever fast moving consumable goods, of course it makes sense to book directly on the online platforms. But on the continent here, even if it involves, or not even, if it involves a few flat racks as well and what have you not, then it starts to get
Yeah.
really nice to have somebody on the ground.
Yeah. No, but I just had another interview earlier today, Thomas, where we went on to the same customer service. It's not enough to have a call center in Estonia or in India. You need to actually have a person who knows about the shipment, and you need somebody who actually picks up the phone. I mean, it's not rocket science. And if you can do it properly, people will stay with you. They will not go to the big ones, I'm sure.
No, and that would be, I think there will definitely be some changes over the coming years, and there will be some people which struggles, but it might be more in the upper middle segment,
Yeah.
where people are used to have high volumes and a decent margin even on high volumes
Right.
per TU.
Right.
So no, sure, we
Okay. So
otherwise we need to find another business pool.
oh yeah, that no no that I'm too old for that now. You're still you're still the younger generation. So bottom line, if we just to have a little quick recap, you're based in Maputo. You have going to have office or have soon in Angola. You have very soon already in Portugal, Finland, Denmark. Any other and then of course you will have some either loose or fixed partnerships covering other places. Are there any plans for you to do anything in Asia, given that there's a lot of sourcing coming out of there? You mentioned mining equipment out of China, but as you know, the Chinese generally book with the Chinese and difficult to open up. Do you have any Asian plans?
No,
No.
we have a clear strategy, what we want and what we don't want, and one of them is that we want to stay in the time zones, plus minus CET,
Yeah.
2 hours,
Yeah.
and that's one of our clear strategies. That's the area where we focus. So we focus from the from I was going to say from northern Norway to Cape Town. That's
Yeah. Let's put it this way. You focus on where the CEO does not get a jet lag.
exactly. You are
Yeah.
completely right. So no, I think there's no reason for adding too much trouble as long as the market here is very solid. And that's one of the reasons I also want to say we have no intention of opening, let's say, South Africa. There's a
No.
lot of good water for waters in South Africa. Same
Yeah.
goes for Germany. There's a lot
Yeah.
of good for
Yeah.
waters there.
Yeah. Yeah.
China, I can keep on. There's no need to add anybody or any further competition to a competitive market.
No. I think that's a smart, well said, and really a good policy. For you as such, I know this is not directly a shipping question, but I know that you have your family with you in Mozambique. Just a question from right off the hip here. How does it feel to live in Mozambique and having your family there? We can diffuse some of the newspaper articles that we read about Africa and tell us more. How does it feel to live there?
It's Africa light. It's very easy living, and that's also why we have chosen this as a bit of a hub in general for the company. It's easy living if you like working as I do. It's also doable because there's those especially Scandinavian standards with early hour. Oh, sorry, short work days. It's definitely not a thing here. You have to adopt a bit. People do not necessarily respect early hours or out of office or weekends and so
Sure.
on, but it gave a lot of flexibility,
Yeah. Yeah.
not least good weather helps a lot on your mood in general.
Oh, well, yeah. Yes,
Yes.
I'm just looking out of my window now.
But even it gets quite cold in the morning here as well.
Okay.
Especially now when it's winter. But it's a nice atmosphere, and there's a lot of nice people here, and it's really safe. You and I could easily walk home from a restaurant in the evening
Okay.
despite it's dark, and
Yeah, because
there's of course the usual things you need to watch out. You need to have your things in order. You need to have your
Yeah.
licenses as a company, your private things in order, your car, whatever. Otherwise, you can run into big troubles.
Yeah.
Corruption is a major problem here, still, and
Sure.
I'm sure it will be for many years. It's a very, very poor country.
Yeah.
Maputo, you forget sometimes it's a poor country, but if you go 20 kilometers out of town, then you any comeback to your mind, that's for sure.
Yeah,
So it's a bit sad as well.
yeah. Now, regarding safety, I think you hit it on the nail. I think I'm more liable to have a bulletproof vest on in Stockholm these days than you in Maputo. So things are changing, but of course, common sense as in everywhere, and not always believe what the headlines scream about. So I think it's fantastic. I always respect people who move outside the beltway. They normally learn the right way and the hard way. So that's a compliment to you. Thomas, it's a fantastic voyage you have embarked on with UPF, and of course with strong partners and a strong background. Do you see the market in? There's a lot of talk about green, but that doesn't mean that they won't develop oil and gas still. It's still moving on full speed, isn't it?
It is, and I can only talk for myself and what I believe in. I believe Total will, if no major incident the coming month, I
Yeah.
believe Total will be back on track early Q1 24. And that project, it's massive. And if that goes well, then Exxon most probably follow. And that project gonna be a copy paste. They're actually going to be door-on-door. We see some Chinese petroleum companies. We see others, both Eni and others. They will start a drilling campaign next year. And Eni already planned for the second FLNG. So some people might forget, but Eni is actually here with a floating production unit. So they have a FLNG offshore producing. There is going, I think it's 4 or 5 times a month. There is a tanker, a BP tank or LNG carrier from BP loading there for the next 24 years. So it's happening. You
It's
know, you,
happening,
yeah, it is. And Tanzania, there is a joint venture up there between or including Equinor, which is might also happening. There's still long way to go.
And
Namibia.
And
Namibia is
of
on.
course, all you're saying here basically just to sorry to interrupt you there.
No, no.
But what it means basically is a hell of a not only the big equipment, there's a hell of a lot of equipment all the time, and it can come from anywhere in the world. Parts, bigger parts, smaller parts, has to go quick. They need somebody who hands on. So your organization would be ideally suited to take care of that.
Yeah, and we see already now there is a windmill. It's a firm windmill project coming in for Q2 next year here to Mozambique, a small one,
Oh, yeah.
going to a site called Namasha, only a few hours drive from Maputo. We see project coming up now for Zambia, Zimbabwe, and currently there is a big solar project and an onshore gas project which is going on. Many might have heard of it. It's called Teman. Both project there. It's big projects and equipment is arriving as we speak in the port, so
Wow.
it's going on.
Okay.
So
I
there's.
so let's put it this way. The demise of oil and gas is over, let's say, overstated. It's not happening. I mean, it's comes along with renewable, doesn't it?
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
I don't like to go into that discussion when you're sitting here seeing it with your own eyes. But yes, it will be on for the next many years to come. I'm pretty sure. And you see the market right now, China is taking as much as LNG and what they can, and the demand for gas is just it's simply just growing.
Skyrocketing. And I heard the other day here in Sweden that our energy minister talking about building 10 nuclear power plants here because it's back on the board on the table again. So
But you
it's
also see the green transition is there. You see in
Yeah.
the you see in Saudi they are putting up 200 windmills now for hydrogen. There is a green transition, that's for sure. But they are only slowly starting thinking about Africa. You have seen it in South Africa. They're pretty strong on wind. They have a It's also an easy way to generate power, and they are having a massive shortage. I don't know if it's common known or known, but yeah, but there's a huge shortage of electricity.
And it's what we hear about South African politicians. They have a lot, especially hot air, but Meaning talking more than doing, but yes, it's quite well known about the energy crunch there. But it seems to me here at the end of the interview, it seems to me that you are in the right place at the right time with a fantastic and very interesting market. I must say, very interesting to talk to you, and of course, as a fellow Dane, very proud of. I can say, since we are both educated at the same place, proud of what you have achieved, Thomas. So. I should say, well done, and many, many thanks to you for this interview.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, and thank you for reaching out, and looking forward to meet all your viewers out there.
Definitely. And I want to say to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been the CEO of UPF Group, Mr. Thomas Vestergaard, located in Maputo, Mozambique. African expert, at least in greater parts of Africa, also with offices in Northern Europe and Western Europe, in the South, Mediterranean particularly, and an expert in project forwarding, shipping, and chartering. So do contact him if you need any help. And from me at Project Cargo Weekly, as the journalist I am, it's Friday, so I should call it a day. Thank you very much, and stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.